Good morning. Good to see everybody that's come out today. And this is Labor Day weekend. Unlike Memorial Day weekend, most of you stay at home. Memorial Day, and it's not as bad as it used to be, but all of you used to cut and run to Kentucky, didn't you? Yeah. Well, I'm cutting and running north. You guys go south, but it's all right. Good to see everybody that's here today. Beautiful day, and I know a lot of you have been waiting for cooler weather. It's coming. It's coming. And I don't want to hear you whine because it's too cold. But that'll happen too, won't it? It is good to be here and love the Lord. And so thankful to see all of you here. Good to see Brother Ronnie. Brother Ronnie, I'll just tell you this. We was ready to baptize you last week, but we didn't get to. So when you get ready, we'll get ready again, okay? We want you to get well first, though. We really do. We appreciate the prayers of the people. And when you look back and you see somebody walk through the door that you've been praying for, that's just confirmation in it that the Lord answers prayer. And He still does. He still does. And so don't ever quit praying. One of the most important things you can do is pray. That's not what we're going to preach about today, but that's one of the most important things you can do, okay? If you want to follow along with us, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke, chapter 24. Set the stage for it here just a little bit. This is after Jesus' resurrection is where we're going to start reading. We're not sure how many followers He had. I know, you know, a lot of times we narrow it down and say, oh, He had 12 disciples that went everywhere with Him. And they did, okay, but there were more than that. If you remember over here in Acts chapter 1, they are looking for somebody to replace Judas, who has killed himself. And part of the criteria was whoever they selected had to be with them the whole time. So that tells us there's more than 12, right? And we know there's at least 14 because they picked two names before they took the vote. And then we know also in Acts chapter 1 that when they have that discussion of who to replace, that there's about 120 or so of them that are together with Him. So a lot of people were followers of Christ. Even though they may not have been chosen as that inner circle of disciples, there were a lot of people that did follow Him. And you know, there was a lot of ladies that followed Him. Did you know that? Some of the women were more devout than the men. Mary Magdalene, by example, was one of them. And, you know, I think about Mary, and if you had had, if you'd had seven demons cast out of you, wouldn't you follow Him too? I mean, that's a total change of life. I mean, that's a complete just turn around from the way she was. And to be free from that, I'm sure that she was happy to follow Him wherever He went. And she would have been there at the crucifixion. She is, by all means, the first recorded person that saw the risen Savior. So that's a privilege, right? And but she's not the only one, and the 12 are not the only one. So we're going to read about some guys, two guys in particular, here in Luke 24, starting in verse 13, that were followers of Jesus. So let's start in verse 13. We'll read down through verse 35. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And He saith unto them, what things? And they said unto Him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. That's a familiar story, isn't it? It really is. I realize we all know that. Our subject today is going to be fellowship. Fellowship. We fellowship, don't we? Or do we? Got one uh-oh, okay. Fellowship is defined as communion or a sharing in common. So with that definition, hopefully that's what our gatherings are about, right? Fellowship. Well, how important is fellowship? A sharing in common. How important is that? I think it's very important. We had some varies all over the building, varies, okay? I remember a saying, haven't heard anybody say it in a long time, but birds of a feather flock together. You ever heard of that? Yeah. Why? Well, they have something in common, right? Yesterday, I was privileged to meet yesterday afternoon with a large group of people in a fellowship hall down in a church not far from me. We called it a family reunion. There's a bunch of people there. Why'd they come? It's something in common. A common ancestry, didn't we? And the idea that we could all come together and have that one thing in common. And, you know, some of them we hadn't seen in a few years, some of them a couple of years, and some of them we see every year. But we all have something in common. So I guess you could say we were all birds of a feather that flocked together. And the food wasn't bad, okay? I mean, I think some people just come for that, but that's okay too, you know. But fellowship is important. It's important to all of us, isn't it? And should be. And are we doing enough of it? I want to share some scripture with you today as we go through this. First of all, over in Hebrews chapter 10. Listen to what the writer had to say to us. And I'm going to read this and we're going to comment on some of it. Because I think sometimes scripture is misinterpreted, misused. Okay? Listen to what the writer said to us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, 24, and 25. said, let us hold fast our profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many times have we heard verse 25 quoted and spoken of as a command that we all come to church? Is that what that writer's saying? Is it all about coming to church? No, it's not. It's not. As we look at this, let's see that the writer is telling us in verse 24, because we have something in common, don't we? Our profession of faith. Christ is our common point, right? The Christian life, that's common value. That's something we all experienced, and we're all in this together, right? So he said, let's consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. What's he talking about? Encouragement, isn't he? We come together, we want to encourage one another. And he said that we don't need to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. In other words, what he's saying is, there are people that have things in common. Now, I happen to know we have a few car guys in the church, okay? Happen to kind of know that. And I don't know if they do it much anymore, but used to, you guys get together, wouldn't you? Go to a car show together. You'll get your cars together. There's a couple of us in here, maybe more than that, that like to ride motorcycles. And we like to hang around guys that got bikes too, don't we? Yeah, some of you like to hunt or to fish, and ladies used to get together and quilt anymore. They don't anymore. You just go to Walmart and buy them, right? Set and break beans together. You had something in common. You got together, right? Why? Because you had something that you could talk about together. You could motivate each other. You could encourage one another, right? And yet, the writer here says that we don't need to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even though some people do. As Christians, who he's talking to, we need to get together. And he said we need to exhort one another. What does it mean to exhort? To lift up, to encourage. What I want you to get here real quick here, if you haven't already figured it out, this is what we're supposed to do at church, right? But this is not the only place. We need to get together more often than just coming to church. I don't know about you, but I have Christian brothers and sisters a lot of places around the globe. And they don't all, I hope you know this, don't come to Edinburgh Church. They don't all go to my home church right beside my house. Sometimes we're guilty of getting together at somebody's house and singing some songs and witnessing to each other and encouraging. Sometimes we are guilty of going to the nursing home and worshiping together and fellowshipping and encouraging one another. You see, this statement that the writer is giving us is bigger than just coming to church. It's about encouraging one another outside of the church. Getting together. I don't know about you, but I've worked in the public world all of my adult life, and sometimes I just get hungry to get with God's people. You know why? Because the language is different. The topic of conversation is different. There's a closeness, even even if I don't know their name. And trust me, I'm terrible with names. Some of you I worked on for years, and some of you I'm still working on, okay? But I feel a common ground there, don't you? As we come together. So the writer is telling us that this is something that is highly recommended, and I would say that it is essential in living the Christian life, that we get together and that we worship together and we encourage one another together. And the scripture backs that up. Did you know that? That we need to get together with people of like faith. Some of you about starve to death from Sunday to Sunday, don't you? Just don't have the fellowship. Can I give you a little spoiler alert? That's why we have Wednesday night prayer meeting. That's why so many churches are doing small groups. And that's just a church-sponsored activity that can actually take place in your home by your own willingness to encourage one another. What are these guys doing here in the book of Acts, chapter 24? What are they doing? They're walking down a road together, headed toward a small town, and they have been followers of Jesus. They have been such followers that they are right now at this point, when we caught up with them here on the road to Emmaus, at this point, they're grieving. Their hearts are heavy. They're puzzled. They don't understand what has taken place, because as they tell Jesus, this guy that came from Galilee, we thought he was going to be the one. And we thought he would be the one that would redeem Israel. And we had such confidence that everything was going to go right. And Jesus he's asking, why are you guys so sad? And what are you talking about? And they're explaining, here's what happened. Our hearts are broken. We had a fellowship going on here. We would follow him around. We would meet together with people of same mind and of like faith. And everything was going real good until 3 days ago. And dude, you must be a stranger here, because you don't know anything about it. They're fellowshipping. They're sharing in common. What are they sharing? The news of what has happened. They're sharing the excitement of how they felt that this was the man that's going to help us out. But now, we're all sad because of what's happened. I want you to recognize here that they were sharing with a group of people in the times of joy, and now they're sharing in a time of sadness. Isn't it much easier to go through times of sadness when somebody is grieving along with you? Isn't it great when we testify and we witness that God has done something big for us and we all join in together? That's great, isn't it? Because what we're saying is, I identify with that. I say this to people once in a while that say things, and I look in my past, and I recognize it's the way I used to be, and even things today that I recognize it's the way I am now, and I'll say, I resemble that remark. Because what you said sounds like me. That's a fellowship. That's a sharing in common. You see what I'm saying? Whether it's sadness and sorrow, whether it's heartache, or whether it's joy and excitement and just sharing in the fact that we all are partakers of the same grace of God, we need to fellowship. Even in the Old Testament, go over here to the book of Malachi, the very last book in the Old Testament. And Malachi, man, he writes things. He's so full of some really cool stuff that I don't have time to teach to you today. There again, maybe I need to make a series on Malachi. I have all these ideas about series and I never get them done, you know, because it just never seems like the right time to get them done. But I think it would be so cool to have a series on people like that, right? But Malachi, he is legitimately the last book of the New Testament, of the Old Testament era. There's going to be a few hundred years, about 400 years, when we won't hear from a prophet. But Israel has been returned back to their homeland, and things are starting to come together, okay? And the people have come home from the Babylonian captivity. And Malachi's talking to them about some things. And he said in chapter 3, verse 16, listen to what he said. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. You know what that is? That's fellowship. Isn't that what we should do? Okay, not just our little congregation here at Edinburgh, but as Christians, do you go out of your way when you meet up with a fellow Christian out there in the world to say hello? Do you go out of your way to perhaps pass on a little word of encouragement or maybe a prayer request and request the same of them? This is what Malachi is saying. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Now, what's the period of time when we speak to each other if it's often? That's a relative concept, isn't it? Often, every time I see them, every time we can get together, we talk. What's the common thing they've got here? They fear the Lord, okay? And what happens when they fellowship, when they commune with each other, when they share in common about the things of the Lord? Listen to what it said. Malachi said, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. God's listening when we're talking with each other. Any of you parents ever get really, did you ever have a big smile on your face when you hear your kids and, you know, usually it's fussing or fighting or something. But isn't it great when once in a while you hear them getting along? I'm talking grandkids too. Isn't it great when you hear them and they're getting along? Now, some of you just got had one kid, you don't count, okay? But if you had more than one child, you understand the rivalry between siblings, right? And if you hear them talking and getting along, that's a good thing. What Malachi is telling us right here is these people that feared the Lord, they talk to one another on a regular basis, and the Lord heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Whoa. When we get together in fellowship and encourage one another and we speak about the things of the Lord, you mean God cares so much that he writes it in a book so he can remember how well we get along? You guys aren't getting the impact of that. You know, that could be scary. What if there's a lot of blank pages where nothing's being written? What if he chose not to write the things down that we want to argue and fuss and disagree on? He's writing down all the good stuff. You know why? He wants to remember them. God doesn't forget anything anyway, okay? This is Malachi's way of saying God's paying attention when you guys get together. He's paying attention, okay? And look at verse 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. God likes it when we get together. God likes it when we get together, even as these two men walking along and are sad because of what has happened. God recognized that their sadness is come together because of the events, and they had high hopes, and they're fellowshipping one with another. You know what they're doing? They're gaining strength from one another. What do we do next? Man, I can't believe what happened. I can't believe that him, with all the miracles. Can you imagine the conversation they had? Can you imagine that they're sitting there going, listen, we saw him do all these great miracles. We saw him, you know, make lame people walk and deaf to hear and blind to see that had never done it in their lives. We saw him raise people from the dead, and then he lets this happen. How disappointing is that? What do we do now? Do we look somewhere else? What should we do? That's what they're talking about. And then on top of it, they're explaining to Jesus, they're saying, you know, it's a puzzle to us because we know he died. We know he was buried in the grave. We know he was there for 3 days. But guess what? Just today, some of the women that were part of our group went down there and they came back and said, look, he's not there. Now, we don't know about that. But that's what they said. And then a couple of guys we know of, Peter and John by name, in case you guys didn't know, went down there and they found the tomb was empty. And if you read the Gospels, you'll find out John walks away and says, man, he's alive. I don't know where he is, but he's risen from the dead. And what's Peter doing? He's doing like we are. Well, I don't know. Something happened here. I ain't sure. I just don't know. Okay? And these guys are just like Peter. They're saying, we don't know where his body's at. Something happened. And these people said that he's alive. You know what they're saying is? They don't believe the witness of Mary Magdalene that said, you know what? I saw him. I saw him. He's alive. Listen, that's encouraging words even to us today, isn't it? That he's alive. We don't have a dead Savior. We have one that's alive. We don't have a dead founder of our church. So many religions that there are in the world, and there's a bunch of them. We can't even count them. But all their founders are dead. Ours ain't. He's alive. And that ought to be a topic of our conversation, that our Lord is alive. And how do we know he's alive? Because he answers prayer today, doesn't he? He still does miracles today. He's still touching lives today. We know that he's alive, not just because of the witness of those in the early church, but we know he's alive today because he's alive in us. Malachi said they got together often. Oh, listen, you guys know, if you don't know, you're gonna learn, you know, that I go to associations. People say, why do you go to associations? I love it. Why? Man, I know so many people that I've met there that I have something in common with. And the fellowship, I don't like the business part. Anybody here like the business part of associations? Jimmy loves them. He's the moderator. He's, you know, you guys have disappointed him. He doesn't have to direct business. He gets to this year, and he's tickled to death, aren't you, Jim? Yeah. Did you guys hear him? He went, yeah, oh, yeah. He's not looking forward to that part. What's the great part? I tell people about our association in South Kentucky, and man, we're 240 years old now. People say, well, I've never been. What goes on there? Well, we do a little bit of business and a lot of singing and a lot of preaching and a lot of fellowshipping. We even fellowship in the fellowship hall around our meal. That's why I go. And all the associations I go to are not separate Baptists. Some of them are United Baptists. Oh, that'll freak a lot of people out. But why? Because I've got brothers and sisters that are in the United Baptists. I've got them in the Methodist Church. I've got them in the Assemblies of God and the Church of God and the Church of Christ. And even a few Catholics that I think somehow made it through the gate. And they're Christians too. And we fellowship together. And that's what it's about. I long for association season to start. The very first one is the Christian Unity Association, which is located, we always say North Carolina. There's 7 churches, there's 4 in North Carolina and 3 in Virginia. But I love it because that's the start. Then I get to start going to associations, and I get to go to South Kentucky, and I go to Bethlehem Association, and I get to come to Central Indiana here this weekend, and in a couple of weeks, I get to go to Nolan Association, and then in October, I get to go to the General Association. generation. And those are exciting times. You know why? Because I get to fellowship with like-minded people. The world is blocked out, and I get an opportunity to sit with people and to worship together and to rejoice together and to encourage one another and lift one another up. And that's what we're supposed to do as people of God. Malachi said them kind of people get together often. And you know what I think he's saying? He's saying they don't wait for worship time at church. And you know why I think that? Because they didn't have a church. They had a synagogue, but they got together in their homes, in different places, and they fellowshipped. And people today in our church world, see, we've had it backwards for years. I hear people say all the time, oh, let's get them to church and get them saved. Well, that's a pretty good plan if you can get them to church, but how much success do you have in getting them to church? Can we flip-flop that and say, let's get them saved and we won't have no trouble getting them to church? You know why? Because they'll want to get around people that are thinking like they're thinking. They'll want to get around people that are talking like they talk. They want to get around people that believe like they believe. There's something in common. That's why when you join a local civil organization, a club or something. By the way, I don't know, Brother Jimmy, we haven't told them here, but we're collecting glasses again. We're going to take them to Ivory Coast and give them away. You got old eyeglasses, bring them to me. One of my brothers from South Kentucky called me, and he left a message on my answering machine at home last weekend. Said, give me a call as soon as you can. I don't know why he didn't call my cell phone. He's got a minute book. It's in there. But I called him and I said, Brother Frank, what can I do for you? He said, how many eyeglasses do you want? I said, how many you got? He said, I don't know. I'm part of the Lions Club. We're going to get all we can. That's great, isn't it? Now, he's a good Christian man. I love to worship with him and his family. But he's part of an organization that's got something in common. The Lions Club wants everybody to see. So what do? They collect glasses. They help people get glasses. I'm like, man, why don't they all just be separate Baptists and we could all call them separate Baptist glasses, not Lions Club glasses. But you know what? I don't care. He's meeting with a group that's like-minded, isn't he? And he comes to his local church with like-minded people. He comes to camp meeting, an association in South Kentucky, with like-minded people. And we have a goal that we want to reach people for Jesus Christ, don't we? And glasses is the one way we're going to do it. You say, how are you going to do that? Just like we're drilling wells. We're giving them natural water, and the missionaries are preaching about living water. We're going to give them glasses, and though we don't have the ability ourselves to open their blind eyes, we can point them to somebody who can while we're giving them a pair of glasses. I've done got plumb off my subject. Not really. I'm still there, right? Let's go over here to 1 John chapter 1, and let's see what John has to say about this subject of fellowship, of communing together with one another. You got over there 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. Talking about fellowship. If we say we have fellowship with Him, talking about Christ, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now I want you to know how broad that statement is right there. And we'll finish the sentence here in a minute, okay? But he said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, is Jesus Christ not the light of the world? He is, isn't He? If we don't walk in His light, then the Bible said we walk in darkness, okay? But I don't care what color you are. I don't care where you live. Your status in society or your financial status. If you're walking in the light of Jesus Christ, and I'm walking in the light of Jesus Christ, we got something in common. And hey, listen, I might not be able to sit down with you and talk economics because I know very little about them, okay? I know when I'm broke and I know when I got $2. It's about as far as I go economically, okay? So I may not be able to debate economics with you. I'm pretty much technologically illiterate when it comes to computers. Anybody here got, can I get amen on that from anybody else? Amen. I know a little bit, okay? Sometimes I just know enough to get in trouble. I call Jacob and say, Jacob, buddy, old pal, old friend of mine, you know, young deacon, you know, that we're doing so not, you know, I've called him a couple of times, but I call somebody that knows. But I couldn't sit down, and I know, do you guys know what Jacob does for a living? You don't. You don't know Jacob. He's one of them smart guys in computers. He's an IT guy. Ooh, they said, Jacob. Now you'll get lots of phone calls. Don't bother him, okay? So I can't sit down and communicate with Jacob on that, okay? I just can't do it. I appreciate Stan Brown in what he does over here at the graveyard, but I don't know anything about selling plots. All that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Stan Curry back here grooms a golf course. Lord help him. And I understand he does a real good job. I don't know anything about golf, let alone taking care of a golf course. You know what I'm saying? You guys catching what I'm saying? I may not know much about what they do as an occupation, but we're all walking in the light together. So we got something in common, right? As a matter of fact, we've got the greatest thing in common. Because we're walking in the light as He is in the light. And though we may not sit down and discuss our vocations with each other, we've got a great thing in common. And we got a lot we could talk about, don't we? The greatness of God. And John says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's what we got in common. As believers in Jesus Christ, as followers, we may not have anything else in common. But that one thing we do, we are part of the family of God. We were adopted into that family when we came to Jesus Christ and asked forgiveness for our sins, and He forgave us. All of a sudden, we become a part of the largest group that there is in the world. Believers in Christ. Did you know that? Now, I have heard this throughout my life. How many of you know what the number one song is in Christianity around the world? Do not say Amazing Grace. You know what it is? Jesus loves me. That's number one. And we think it's a children's song. Brother Dan, I'm going to encourage you, maybe next Sunday or sometime, look that up and let's all sing all the verses and you'll find out that's not a children's song. It's not. No, it's all about Jesus loves me no matter who I am. And I'd heard all my life, if you get somewhere where you don't know anybody, just start humming that song or whistling that song or singing that song. And you might be in another country in the world where you don't know their language, but you listen and somebody else will start singing along with you. And you know what? That works. Listen. I know a couple of words in French and Spanish, just enough to get myself in trouble, but I've been in those countries where they speak those languages and get off the plane and standing there trying to get my luggage and just start whistling, Jesus loves me, and you stop and you look around, you'll hear it coming somewhere else. And I can't speak their language and I don't live in their country, but you know what? I got something in common with those people. I got something I can get together with them on. Listen, that's what these guys are doing. As they're walking down the road to Emmaus, is they're fellowshipping together. Why? Because they got something in common. And what do we have in common? We have a greater fellowship than with ourselves, don't we? We have a fellowship with the Father and the Son. Did you know that? Yeah. Look up here in John, 1 John chapter 1, just up at the very beginning. Let's look at verse 1, 2, and 3. John said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. What's he saying? I'm an eyewitness. Okay? Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Did you get that? That ye also may have fellowship with us. What's he talking about? He's talking about witnessing. He's talking about sharing the good news. What he just told us is that Jesus Christ came into the world from God, was manifested in the flesh. We saw him. We ate with him. We camped around the campfire together. We fished with him. We saw him die. We saw him after he raised from the dead. We're telling everybody that so that we can all have that one thing in common. We can all be children of God. That ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship, he said, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, when we come together here, it's not just about us having something in common that we all attend Edinburgh Separate Baptist Church. It's that we have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. That's what binds us together. That's what makes us the family of God, that we have that one thing in common. Now, I got news for you today. If you have never come to Jesus Christ and confessed your sins and repented of your sins and asked him to forgive you and to send the Spirit to live in your life, you're not part of this family. You're an outsider. The Bible says that you're a foreigner. You're a stranger. But guess what? You can become part of the fellowship. You can become part of the family of God. Well, how do I do that? Well, just listen to the Spirit. Because not only does he lead us and guide us who are part of the family, but he also speaks to you. I remember. How many of you remember being under conviction before you were saved? Wasn't that about the worst feeling you could have in your life? I've been pretty healthy all my life, and probably the worst thing I've ever had was COVID here about, 5 years ago or whatever. And I felt pretty bad for 2 or 3 days, but nothing has ever compared with conviction. Something got into my heart that was so cold and so hard and so indifferent that it tore me up. What was it? He was the Spirit of God. He was the Spirit of God. God longs, desires to have fellowship with you and with me. And he loved us so much that that's why he sent his Son into the world to die for our sins. Gave the ultimate sacrifice of his only begotten Son so that you could become part of the family of God. And Jesus died, not just for me, but for you and for everybody. And we who are part of the family of God, the church, we have an obligation to share that message with everybody we come in contact with, don't we? We have that obligation. Throughout my life, I've heard a lot of preaching in my life. Have you heard a lot of preaching? Boy, I heard a lot of it growing up. Didn't listen to much of it. Didn't pay much attention to some of it, you know. But you know a funny thing about kids? You think they're not paying attention and they know what's going on. They'll hear it. I know it's a shock to you, but sometimes some of these little kids, and we don't have them here on Sunday morning, but if they're here on Sunday night, or sometimes they'll leave and they'll even tell me what I preached about, and I think they're down there coloring, not paying a bit of attention. But the Word of God's getting into their heart, isn't it? And even though we're not paying attention, sometimes, at some point in our life, God just kind of singles us out and starts talking to us. You know that? And we can't hide from it. We can't run. We can't get distracted enough that it's not there. Because the words that are spoken to us through the Holy Spirit begins to burn in our hearts. Do you know that happened to these guys on the road to Emmaus? Did you notice that? Let's get back over there in Luke chapter 24, and let's look down here at verse 32, at what they said when they finally got back to Jerusalem and went with the disciples and tell them, said, look, he is alive. We know that he is. And they told everything that happened to him. And I want you to look at what it said here in verse 32. They said to one another, these are the two guys that have talked to Jesus and didn't recognize who he was until he broke the bread and he blessed it. And all of a sudden they're going, oh man, this is the guy we're mourning about who's dead. He ain't dead. Here he is. But wouldn't that freak you out just a little bit to be eating a meal with a guy and he just vanishes? I mean, I don't know. You're talking to him. He's here 1 minute and the next he's gone. But they know he's real. Because listen to what they said in verse 32. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? What are they talking about? There was a communion between them and Christ, wasn't there? So much so, they said, man, we should have recognized it while he was talking to us. Because while he's explaining all the scriptures that said what he had to do and actually went through with it, man, there was a fire lit inside of us. Why? Because we had something in common with him. We were followers. But did you know that fellowship with Christ is conditional? He does not force himself on us. Boy, it sure felt like it when I was under conviction, because my heart was burning. And I felt the emptiness of him not being part of my life. And for you to be whole, God has got to be a part of your life. For he's your creator. He's the giver of your life. And without him, there's an emptiness in your life. And so not only do we need to have fellowship with one another, we need to have fellowship with him, don't we? That, my friend, is the greatest fellowship that there is. Primarily, I work by myself at work. Now, if I need help, I'll call somebody, you know. But most stuff I do, I'm by myself. I know this is hard for you to believe, but I can go all day and not say a word to anybody. Quit laughing. I can. I live by myself, have for 21 years plus now. I can go all day at home and not say a word to anybody. Can you do that? Some of you go around talking to yourself so you can hear something, don't you? But you know what? Without verbally saying a word, I can have fellowship with Jesus Christ. People say, aren't you lonely? No, not for a minute. Why not? Because I'm not alone. Because I've got the best friend a person can have who's with me. And you know what? I can tell him anything. And I can tell him everything. And you know what? He's not judgmental. Now, he might point me in a different direction than I'm wanting to go, but he never goes around condemning me. You know why? Because that's not his job. He's the Savior. But I've got him with me, but it's conditional. So, oh, I don't think it's conditional. You know, there are people that believe in predestination, that no matter who you are, you know, God's chosen some people to be saved and some people to be lost, and it don't matter what you do, you're going to be saved whether you like it or not. Do you know how incorrect that doctrine is? It's conditional. He's always wanted me. He's always wanted you. And I can guarantee you that if you're lost today and you're 50 years old, he's talked to you before. And it was your choice not to talk to him. So are you sure about that? I'm absolutely sure. You want to look over in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20? He's talking to a church here, the church at Laodicea. A group of people that used to share in common the mercy and the grace of God and the joy of serving him, but they become lukewarm and cold and no longer are making an impact on the society in which they live in. And so God, by and large, has been locked outside of their fellowship. Okay? Did I paint a good enough picture to start with that you can have fellowship with people other than Christians? If you like cars, you like to cook, you like to garden, maybe raise flowers, you like to do, you know, golf or do some other sport, and all about half of you or maybe two-thirds of you go down here to Edinburgh High School and watch them play ball when basketball season's coming in because you're all excited. That's our team. You got it in common, right? And you go down there and cheer them on, and you should. You know why? Because that's your team, right? That's in common. So you can go a lot of places in fellowship, right? Because we got something in common. But folks, I have a problem when we get together and call ourselves a congregation, a body of Christ, a church, and we've locked him out. But do you know he's not in every church? Because they've locked him out. Oh, now some of them got a lot of emotion going on and a lot of noise, but he ain't there. And some of them are just real quiet and respectful. He ain't there either because they've locked him out. Yeah, we can lock him out. Let's not do that. Here's where it's conditional. These are the words of Christ that he dictated to John to send to the church at Laodicea. And he said this to the church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." Do you hear what he just said? If the door's locked in your life, I'm knocking. But in order for us to fellowship, to commune together, you got to open the door. You've got to open the door. See, he doesn't barge in. You've got to open the door. I did not know Stephanie was going to sing today. I like to hear her sing. She's got a good voice. Don't you guys agree? She sung a great song. You remember what the song was about? She's inviting the Holy Spirit to come in. What was that song all about? And I didn't tell her that I was going to preach on this today, okay? We did talk about something else yesterday. She called me and asked a question and asked me to pray about something. I said I would, and I have been, but we didn't talk about this. But you know what? I have a strange suspicion that that same Holy Spirit that leads me and guides me and has influenced me to preach this little message today and speaks to you and speaks to your heart if you're lost, spoke to Stephanie and said, "Sing this song today because those people need to know that I'm not coming unless they let me in." Holy Spirit, come dwell with us. Come flow through me. Christ is knocking at the door of hearts of people that are lost, but he's also knocking at the door of congregations that have kept him outside. And of all the fellowship that we have in the world, it needs to be with Christ more than anybody else because he is the one thing that we have in common. And if he's not in our life, then we don't have anything in common with the rest of the church, and we need him. And our fellowship is not just with one another, but it's with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Did you hear what he said? If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I'll come in. And you know what the word sup means? Fellowship. I'll come into his life and we'll have something in common. We can commune together. We can fellowship together. Listen, the sweetest fellowship that there is in the world is between you and Jesus Christ. Because he'll hear every cry. He'll see every sadness, every hardship. And the Bible tells us that you don't have anything that comes your way but such as is common with man. We also learned that he was tempted in every point just like we are, yet without sin. You know what I'm saying? He understands. He knows. Fellowship. Man, how great is that? To be able to sit with Christ and to know he's there. How many of you, even in your darkest hour, you've just sat there by yourself and it's just you and God. And you know he's there. There's news none of us want to have, right? We don't want to have, "You got cancer." Some of you's heard that, ain't you? But you know what? If you've got Christ, he's there. Some of you don't like to hear when a loved one's passed away, oh, they're gone. Sad, hurts, don't it? But you know what I've discovered? He's there. When you get to feeling bad, like Brother Ronnie did last week, and you go to the hospital and they say, buddy, you got an infection. Guess what? He was there. And then we've heard this morning of babies being born, and we rejoice, and we're excited, right? Guess what? He's there. He's there. Fellowship, not just with one another, but we have the greatest privilege in the world to fellowship with our Creator and with His Son that died for us. And what my fear is this, that some of you are lacking in that area of fellowship. And while the rest of us are just having a good time and enjoying the good spirit, and you look like a fish out of water, you can change that. Because Christ is knocking at your door. And He's saying, hey, I want to fellowship with you. If you'll open the door, I'll come in. If you'll turn your past away, if you'll say, hey, I realize I'm a sinner, but I don't want to be anymore, and I don't want to sin anymore, and will you forgive me? That's opening the door. And you know what He'll do? He'll come in. And I can promise you this. There is nothing you have ever experienced in your life that's greater, more satisfying, more fulfilling than to know your sins have been forgiven. That, my friends, is true fellowship. And it begins with Christ. And I don't know your heart today. I don't know your mind. But I know that just like these fellows that are talking to Jesus, your heart can be burning. And you can open the door. And you can let Him in. And the sweetest fellowship you will ever have will begin. And it's not just a one-time thing. Did you know that? There's a refreshing anointing once in a while that comes your way. And He'll be with you through your struggles, and He'll be with you through your triumphs, and He'll stick with you closer than a brother. But you've got to be willing to open the door and initiate the fellowship. He's done all He's going to do and all He can do to die for you. Now it's your turn. Are you fellowshipping with Christ in your life, or are you still running from Him? Are you still struggling along hoping you're going to make it and hoping I can make it into heaven? Listen, you can have full assurance that everything's all right when you have that fellowship. I'm going to ask our song leader to come and our piano player to come. I want you to look into your life. This has been a simple message, different. I know. But that's all right. I love to fellowship with my fellow Christians. I love to feel the presence of God while we're all together. But you know what? I like it too when I'm by myself, just me and Him. I like to feel it then too. And you know what? I can feel it both places. And I can find it no matter where I'm at in the world. I can be out in the world and the awfulest things be going on all around me, and I can be standing with a Christian brother or sister, and I can have fellowship because we're all part of the same big family. I love my family. I'm talking about my whole family. Okay? All of them. Rich and poor and black and white and red and yellow and everywhere. I love them. Because we got something in common. And you know what? You need to start enjoying that, because if you plan to make it to heaven, you're going to get up there with them. You may as well start now. May as well start now. God loved you enough. He sent His Son to die for you, to create that fellowship. He's just saying, here it is. Yours for the taking. You just have to make this step. Open that door and let Him in. Let us stand. What song, Brother Dan?